Who is in charge of my inner genius? Lecture 9. Who is in charge of my inner genius? Lecture 9. I live goodness and the principle instantly. I live goodness and the principle instantly. The word try does not exist for me. I choose the colors for my artistry carefully and use my paintbrush and canvas with one purpose. My results are certain. I live goodness and the principle instantly. The word try does not exist for me. I choose the colors for my artistry carefully and use my paintbrush and canvas with one purpose, and my results are certain. This is the biggest problem that all of us have, is what is our purpose? Where are we going? What is our direction? What are we trying to accomplish? What do we want to achieve in our life? That's our biggest and our most difficult decision. What do we want to do? And of course, the answer is, we have no idea. We have no idea what we want out of life. Do you want to have a divine life? You want to have a beautiful life? You want to have a life filled with happiness and goodness? You want to have every good thing in your world done now for you? If you want that, then the only way you're going to get it is by knowing ahead of time that that's where you're going. Otherwise, like the will-o'-the-wisp, you'll just go off on a tangent and you'll never achieve what your goal is. And if you'll never achieve what your goal is, then you'll never get there. What is your goal? What is your purpose? What is your choice of what you want to do? We say here, I live goodness and the principle instantly. I live goodness and the principle instantly. The word try does not exist for me. I live the principle instantly. I live it now. I live it forthright. I live it in every area of my life. Now, what is the principle for you? What is the goal for you? What is the purpose for you in your life? Now, we just talked to Emmanuel, and Emmanuel told us that his goal was, I like me. And we say to ourselves, what a simple goal, what an unimportant goal, what a goal, my goodness, it should be something far more magnificent than that. My goal is to be God, to be the all. No, no. If our goal is something that we can conceive of and achieve, we have done great things. If our goal is some far off imaginative type thing that we know in all of our life will never accomplish, we'll never be able to get there, we don't try. We don't even seek to see if it works for us or if it's anything we want. So Emmanuel is saying, I like me. And he wants all the rest of us to say, I like me too, just for the fun of it. Because if we say, I like me, what are we going to do? We're going to like him. Yeah. And that doesn't bother him at all. And does it bother us that we like each other? Not at all. Now, how do you put these causes in motion? How do you put these circumstances in motion? How do you accomplish these goals and these desires and these programs for yourself? How do you do it? How do you know what your goal is? How do you know what your purpose is? How do you know what you want to accomplish? How do you know? Well, the way that you know is by listening within. The way that you know is by knowing in your heart what turns you on. In your heart is the best barometer you could ever have, because it tells you what you're interested in. It tells you what things you like. Now, they have in the educational institutions tests that they give to students, and it tells what their interests are. What their interests are, and it tells what their interests are, and what their interests are tells what their interests are. It tells what they are interested in. not what they can do, but they're interested in girls. They're interested in tennis. They're interested in art. They're interested in swimming. They're interested in something. They're interested in anything. And that interest test tells the counselor what sort of program they should set up for themselves, what sort of major they should have at the university. It tells them what they would be most interested in following through on, what is going to be something that's going to meet their interest level. And when they find that out, then they tell the students that. And they say to the student, your interest level is in playing children's games. And they say to themselves, are you awfully wrong? Are you far from the truth? They say, no, no, everything you did on the scoring here shows that you like children's games and you like things that children's games offer and you like them. And you say to them, thank you very much. But I have a little different goal than appeared on the test. I like to create children's games. I like to work on the internet and create games on the internet that work with the internet program. I like the complexity of the internet programming and making games that people play that boggle their mind as they're playing the game and that make them achieve the highest level of intellectual content that they can. Oh, you see, the person who corrects the test, the person who looks at the test, has a preconceived thought as to what it all means. And so when you show an interest in following games, you show an interest in children's games and things, they think that you want to play the children's games. They don't realize that you are the genius intellectual mind that creates the games for the children. Now, you cannot take a test to tell where your genius is going to be. Our dear friend Einstein, nice guy, he went to school and they kicked him out. They kicked him out of school because he couldn't pay attention. His attention span was off on other tracks, other at things than the schoolwork. And so he went to work for the government in their patent office and became a patent engineer. And then he went on to become the greatest scientist ever known. The greatest scientist. If he were living today, he'd be the greatest living scientist, but he's the greatest scientist. Far greater than any of those who early in their scientific career found gravity and other things, because those were just things that had to be found. So Einstein did that. Edison had the same problem. He developed the light bulb. And in his school experience, he was bored to tears. And he would go out and be creative, and he would do things that other people could not do, would not do, and never thought of doing. And such is true of the great people, of great minds, of great abilities. They are unchallenged. And many of our young people today are unchallenged in school and are bored to tears by school because it teaches in a way that they have far surpassed over the years so beautifully. Now, how do we find out what our interest level is? How do we find out what it is that we want to do, what's going to make us happy, which is going to be something we're going to want to work on at least for a couple of years? And figure out in your own mind that what you want to find out is what you're going to do at least for a couple of years, no longer. Because if you are not into something new after a couple of years or into some other change of area of what you are doing, you're not excited about what you're doing. I change jobs every 2 years, the same job, newspapers. But each time I changed, I went to a higher salary and a higher position on a newspaper. and eventually the publisher and so forth. But these were just wonderful experiences. But each time I was reaching for a new challenge, reaching for a new level of consciousness. And my wife, she was such a silly bird. She was very interested in the communities that we were in, and she would get so bound up in the community that we were in, be in the women's group and be in the church group and be in the choir director and be in the church secretary and doing everything under the sun. That was a Methodist church, something quite different from what we were actually practicing. And so 2 years happened, and I was ready to move on to a higher salary. And she says, I don't want to go. I want to do this. And so we moved. And we moved to a new place. And the new place might have been 100 miles or 500 miles or 1,000 miles away. And she kept contact with all of her friends at the former place where we had the newspaper. And I said, you want to start being in contact with the people now here in the new place where we are. Because new avenues will open for you, new doorways will open for you, new experiences will open for you. And she says, no. And so she'd invite the people from the previous church and previous business and previous newspaper that I had and have them come visit us at our new home and so forth. And it was totally out of place because our mutual interest was no longer the same. Our mutual caring was no longer the same. And they liked our house, and they thought it was nice, and then they went home, and we never heard from them again, which is natural, and which is what it should be. We try to hold on to the past, and in holding on to the past, we try to hold on to it because we think that the past is important. We think that the past is something that is necessary for our balance in life. And the past is only necessary to have happened, not to continually be happening. We learn to let go of the past by our concentration on the present, living in the present, and experiencing the present. We did everything we could, my son and I, to get my wife to be interested in the new community. And in a short time, she got interested, but she got interested just about the time we were ready to move on and go to a new experience in a new place. And she'd get into the opera society and into the concert classical music societies, and we'd be on all sorts of committees. And then an opportunity would come along for me to stretch my legs and stretch my genius, and naturally I took it. And she said, well, I wish we could stay here. And I said, well, now you're ready for the new experiences at the new place. And so eventually she opened her mind and her heart to the new place. But she was looking for what? Can anyone tell me?
Her good.
What?
Her good. Good.
Her good? Her good?
Yeah, good.
No. Her good. G-O-O-D, right?
No. G-O-A-L.
Her goals.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't looking for her goals. She had no real goals. Her goal was in various activities where she could have fun, you know. What she was looking for was balance. She wanted balance. She wanted to stay in one place like forever. She grew up in West Dallas, Wisconsin, and she grew up in this community, and she was in that community in the same house that she grew up in for, what was it, some 23, 4 years that she lived there. And she liked that. She liked that same thing. She liked that balance. She didn't realize that balance is who you are inside, not who you are outside. But she learned about it, and she got that as part of her life. And she became balanced in many beautiful ways. But whenever we try to hold on to something, we're holding on to the past. We're holding on to what we think is balance. But why is it that new opportunities come along to us and for some reason we must take them? Why does that happen? Because we're ready. Because mentally, physically, spiritually, we are ready for the new adventure. When you die, you're ready for the new adventure. When you live, you're ready for the new adventure. I've been seeing on the YouTubes recently, little children, 1 year old, playing the piano. 1 year and younger. They heard the music, and then they got up there and they plinkled it on the piano keys and figured out where the notes were, what the music was coming from, and they played it. And then they played it again, but they played it again with even more dexterity and more beauty. And again, and then other 2-year-old, 4-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old, geniuses all. Or were they autistic all? They would hear a piece of music and then they'd play it absolutely perfect. And you listen to it and you think to yourself, surely this is some great, magnificent player. And they sit there at the piano. I mean, here, like these kids are like this. Their little fingers, little tiny fingers, going magic. Absolutely magic. Our adult fingers are hard enough to reach all the stretch that they have, but they are so flexible, they press the key, they're off and on and in and around. They're magical. Do they know what their goal is? No. Do you know what their goal is? No. You think their goal maybe is to be a wonderful musician. But that period of autism oftentimes burns out and ceases to be. And they don't carry with them that wonderful skill of being a pianist into their younger years and older. That is lost. What are they going to do? How are they going to live their life? What is going on? Well, that's not our concern. Our concern is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with our life? What are we going to do for our goals? What is going to be the pattern that's going to set life in a very glorious way for us? Are we going to be happy doing what we're doing? Are we going to be able to say every 2 years, well, let's go on to a higher paying salary job, let's go on to a new community, let's expand our horizon and do beautiful things? Newspaper publishers on the big scale like to buy weekly newspapers and other newspapers and magazines. They like to buy a whole media of publications and to have them under their wing. Why? Because then they don't have to move from town to town and city to city, because they got them all themselves. And they publish them all themselves, and they have a good time doing it. And they have a good time being recognized as the publisher of those publications. And they don't have to move from place to place. But even so, with the genius of publishing all of these grand publications, 8 or 10 or 20 of them, they still get bored because there's a sameness in them. And they want to reach out to some newness of attitude, some newness of beingness. And when they reach out to some newness of beingness, then they're looking for how they can be themselves and have fun, how they can express themselves in even more wonderful, more fantastic ways. You've all gone through this experience, I'm sure, in the microcosm or the macrocosm. You've gone through it in the little of the big. You've gone through it in the feeling of what you're learning and what you're doing. And you have one job, your first job, and then you have your second job, and then you have your third job, and you have other jobs, and some of them you have while you're children, and those may be most memorable because the greatest amount of awareness and learning oftentimes takes place at the jobs that you have as a child. The job you have as a child doing something like working in your neighbor's yards or property or working for newspapers and delivering papers or whatever things. Or here, if you want to see entrepreneurs, you want to know what an entrepreneur is? An entrepreneur is an enterprising person, somebody who's got a lot of pizzazz about them. You just go to any corner as you drive along the street in any little community And all the entrepreneurs of that community come out with their basket on top of their head, with their bananas in their arms and their little brothers on their back, and all these things, wanting to sell you bananas and grapes and all the other things that they sell. They are entrepreneurs. Do you think those little girls are going to grow up to be big shop ladies who are able to run markets, produce stands, who are going to be able to be in government, who are going to do all of the magical things that make the world go round? You bet. Are they going to be good? You yes. bet. Because they've learned how to, so to speak, elbow their way in to the lead traffic where the sales are made. They're able to have that pathetic look on their face and make you feel sorry for them and want to buy from them, whereas the truth is, in their heart, they have merely that outer pathetic appearance. In their heart, they're just as happy as gold because their business is just great. They know that that's just a show. They know that that's all theater for them. And they are excellent in the program of the theater, training themselves, basically, if their parents had not also helped them train themselves. Now, what is yours? How are you going to find it? Someone said to me the other day they wanted to find the ideal wife. They wanted to find the ideal mate. And you might say, well, if they want to find the ideal mate, they should go to the bar where the ideal mates hang out, you know. Or they should go to church where the ideal mates hang out. Or they should go to school and work with the school board, work with the children, work with the sporting goods, and where the ideal mates hang out. Now, let me ask you, you have a goal of an ideal mate. Where do you find the ideal mate? Does the ideal mate exist in a particular place? Or does the ideal mate exist first in your consciousness? Yeah, first in your consciousness. Once you have made up your mind in your consciousness what you think the ideal mate is, and then you let it go, you release it, you go on with all the other things you're doing, and the ideal mate will be revealed to you because you let it go. And you see, if you can let it go, not hang on to it, not say, well, it's got to do this, it's got to be that, it's got to be the other thing. The ideal mate is someone that I just feel absolutely good about, and the two of us have many mutual interests and respect each other and what each other's interests are. You see, it's not whether the person is a good wage earner. It's not whether the person is beautiful or handsome. It's not whether the person is tender and loving to the children or tender and loving to the woman. Because if you are a tender and loving woman, you will create a tender and loving man. And if you don't create a tender and loving man in your life, if you create a man who is not very pleasant and not very kind to you, that's your choice. That's your choice. You think you need to be put in place. You think you need to be beat. You think you need to be punished for whatever reason you think you need it. And so, when you are a sensible, what word am I looking for? You're a person who is a good person, you're balanced, you're healthy, mentally healthy, that's a good word. You're a mentally healthy person. You will create a husband who is exactly like you, loving, gentle, kind, tender, sensitive. The two of you just melt together because it's not melting together for sex, but it's melting together for the relationship of caring about one another totally, wonderfully, beautifully. Then that is the kind of person you'll have. Now, with Chitterly here, we've also learned that children and parents can meld together too, in beautiful harmony and beautiful relationships. We have learned that if you have 11, 12 dozen kids, you can still have a very harmonious, loving family, a family that respects one another, a family that honors one another, a family that delights in one another. And when you have a family that delights in one another, what happens to you? What happens to you is your life is absolutely fantastic. Your life is absolutely glorious. Your life is absolutely fulfilled. But you have to make the step. You have to make the step. Now, where is this person going to find that beautiful, wonderful soulmate that he is looking for? Where is he going to have to go to look? How is he going to find this soulmate?
Consciousness.
Huh?
Consciousness.
Consciousness.
Consciousness. Consciousness.
At the pawn shop?
Consciousness.
In his mind.
In his mind. Yes, you said in his mind? I heard it different. Okay, in his mind. In his mind. Now, who ever heard of shopping for a girlfriend in your mind? Well, that's what you do. But I don't recommend you do that. I don't recommend you shop for a girl in your mind. In other words, going over all the girls you ever met and you ever thought about and then seeing which one might be interesting to you. Don't do that. To shop for a girl in your mind, what you do is you first decide yourself who you are. You are a loving, unconditionally loving person. Isn't that nice? You're an unconditionally loving person. You're an I like me sort of person. You, if you want a family, and most everyone does, you love children. You love having them around. They do not irritate you. They do not bug you. They do not drive you crazy. If children drive you crazy, don't get married. Because children are going to be children. And if you want to create children being nice children, quiet children that are seen and not heard, then you're not really interested in a family. A family is made up of all people who absolutely respect each other and share with each other the genius that each other is. Not trying to make you into my image. But a good father is a good role model, and the children will want to follow after the father's role model. A good mother is a good role model, not just for the girls, for the guys too. A good mother is a role model because she is consistently, unconditionally loving at all times with everybody under all circumstances, and she does not judge anybody, she just loves everybody to pieces. And she is never misunderstood that she's looking for other relationships. She's never misunderstood in that light. She's only understood in the light that she is a gregarious, fabulous woman who is just as gregarious and fabulous as the man is. And the woman, as she looks for her soulmate, if you want to call it that, what does she do? First, she decides who she is. First, she decides she is a loving person. She is master of her consciousness. She is master of her world. She is master of her thought. She is master of the circumstances that she is surrounded by, with, and in. And she is happy, very happy. And every man that comes into her world, every man that comes into her world, whoever this woman may be, every man who comes into her world says, "Wow, are you spectacular?" You see, "Wow, are you spectacular?" Every man says it. And she doesn't say, "Marry me, marry me." No way. She said, "And what about you? Are you spectacular too?" And so then they get to know each other. And if he is spectacular too, they might tie a knot. If he's not spectacular too, she will just fluff him off like yesterday's dust. No longer of interest, and this happens. But if she looks at him and finds him spectacular, and just like she is, she might find a suitable partner. We don't know. We don't know. We have to be careful. I wanted a wife, and all of a sudden I met this beautiful girl, and she was just so fantastic, and I thought, surely she must be my wife, because I wanted a wife, and here she came. And then, after I got to know her better, I found out we had nothing in common. She merely happened to be at that moment in that place when I was looking for someone, and I thought that that was it. And once I realized we had nothing in common, I said, you are the greatest. Thank you for being in my life. Now, I'm on my way. And I was on my way. Now, you, how are you going to create beings in your world who are harmonious with you? If you have a business, if you have a family, if you have a life, and you need to create something in your life. Now, I know all of you are very much bothered by this situation, so I'll mention it. You all would like to hire a nanny, some person to take care of the children for you. You would all like to hire some woman to come in and manage the children and manage the household and take care of things so you and your wife can have a ball and travel and do things that you want to do. Because all of you are independently wealthy. Is that all right?
Yes.
Yes, you bitch, it's all right. I didn't hear it very loudly.
Yes.
Yes. All of you are independently wealthy.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. And all of you would like to leave your children with a nanny while you go and spend a couple days in America. Yes. Or you go to London, you go to France, you go to Paris, or you go to wherever you want to go. Maybe you go to Lagos, you know, and you just have yourself a good time, and then you come home. And your nanny takes care of things. She keeps the house, she takes care of the food, the clothing, takes care of the meals, does everything. Now, that's nice, huh? That's not nice?
Nice.
Huh?
Nice.
I would think that was nice. The women think that's nice.
No?
You say no?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yeah.
You say no what? No nanny?
No nanny.
No nanny.
No.
Boy. Because you can't afford it?
Carry your children along.
Huh?
Wherever you are going, if your wife is not there, you carry your children along. If your wife is there, the children will remain with your wife.
That is it.
Okay. When you're with me, it pays to be a little bit of a dreamer. A little bit of a dreamer. And you know, Peter, if you were to be a little bit of an unconditional lover with your wife, you might find you want to be with her on a trip to Paris. Or maybe you don't want to travel. Maybe you don't want to leave the countryside because you are so enamored with where you're living and it just suits you to a T, to 100%. And of course, I know better, because you wouldn't come here if home was so perfect and you couldn't leave it. You just couldn't leave it. It's so wonderful. It's not that your home's not wonderful, but people don't want to. I don't like to leave the campus. I live on 104 acres in up on the lower mountains in Southern California, and the weather is always fantastic. It's a little warm lately. It's been in the 80s and 90s. Isn't that something? Terrible, huh? And we have the sun maybe 90% of the year, and we have beautiful plants that grow naturally, and my dog and I take a walk around our property every morning. We have a couple of swimming pools. We have all sorts of beautiful things. We have everything you could ever want. And I used to send Ellen with me on these journeys, and I say, Ellen, come along, translate and take care of the notes and make sure that everything is done correctly. And Ellen says, do I have to? I love being here. And then Ellen said, you know, if you had asked me to take a trip around the world on a cruise ship, I would say yes. And can you understand that?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you understand that?
Yes.
And she said, you know, I'd really like to take a cruise ship up to Alaska from Southern California. And I said, well, fine. She said, I'd like to take a cruise ship down the Pacific, down Mexico way. That we took one cruise ship trip and that was it. And it wasn't very expensive. It was a very modest price, but oh, it was great. All the food you could eat, all the dancing, all the everything. It's just wonderful. And then I say, okay, Ellen, how about going over and visiting with your grandchildren, and visiting with your family in Lugano in Switzerland? She says, well, it's okay, you know. She wasn't interested in leaving home. She loves her grandchildren. They're on the phone virtually every day. They're on the Skype telephone, and where you talk over the phone and things like that. And they're doing all sorts of things. It's free. And they're just talking for hours. And naturally, she doesn't have a great interest in going there because she's there by telephone. She's there as they're standing in front of the phone talking to her and things. But she's not interested in doing a lot of things, except for some real fun things, like on another cruise ship. Now, I had never had a cruise ship before. I've had, in the Navy, we had our big ships, the aircraft carrier that I was on, and so I got to know the ocean there, and it was okay. It was okay. But for me to be at home is a delight. Is a charm. For me to have my golden retriever at my side as I go places and do things, and he wants to be with me. A lot of times he wants to leave me, and he wants to go and be with the girls because they're good treat givers and he's a good con artist. But I love it there, and I know you love it at your home, and it's very satisfying and very fulfilling and very rewarding, and unless it was really important to go, I probably wouldn't go. Now, I've cut down on my seminars around the world as much as I can, not because I don't want to go, not because I can't afford it, not because of any other reason. It's only because I really enjoy where I live and what I do. And I write my books, and I write my articles, and I write, and I make the tapes, and I put them on every day, and I just have a good time doing this, and it's wonderful. And then when I come here and be with you all and with Sibyl, I feel I'm in heaven again because you just turn me on. And you turn me off when we get off the subject and you want to talk about things that I don't consider important to talk about. And you say, what things don't you consider important to talk about? Well, I don't consider it's important to talk about anything that is negative. I don't consider it's important to talk about accidents. I don't consider it's important to talk about poverty and sickness, ill health. I don't consider it's important to talk about anything that is limiting in any way. I don't consider that important. And if anyone wants to talk about the devil or wants to talk about unhappy people, I say, talk about it, but not to me. I'm not interested, because those are the figmentations of your mind, and they're not mine. My mind is not an evil world. My mind is a glorious world. And so I talk, live, and express myself in this glorious world. And I never shut up. I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. And I believe that the people I talk to love it too. And they keep asking me back. And they keep saying, come, come, come. And I put down my recorder here on the table a while ago and didn't hold it up here where it can take the whole sound. And these are coming through very nicely. And so she will have copies of it. And if it pleases you to know about it and want them, find out what it costs to put them together, and she'll have somebody do it for you. So I keep sending her the latest of what I'm doing, and from that can be made copies and stuff. And I don't need any money from these things. I don't need anybody to pay. If you want me to send you the thing, then you pay for what it costs to do that. If you want me just to send you the content and have Sibyl provide it for you in some way, then you just pay Sibyl, and she'll take care of it and have it done. So she might put it on a disc. She might put it on any type of feature, if it pleases you. But don't do it because I say so. And you see, one of the things that people like very much, obviously I like it very much too, are the morning three-hour meditations. I struggle through sometimes saying, I'm God, you know. But hey, that's okay. That's natural. I've been using my voice for 25 years, you know. That's natural. Then I look at Anzio Pinza, and I look at other great singers and great musicians, and I hear them in their 50s and 60s and 70 years of age, and their voices roar into the sky because they know how to use their diaphragm to sing. They know how to bring out all the glory of their voice without straining it. And I get so excited sometimes, I just push myself or strain myself a little bit, but it's okay. I back up and gather my skirts about me and get back in shape again quick. But this is what it's all about. This is what you're all about. This is what life is all about. Now, we have had this question here. Let's see if we've begun to answer it. And the question is, are we on number 9?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I thought it was 9. I live goodness and the principle instantly. The word try does not exist for me. I choose the colors for my artistry carefully and use my paintbrush and canvas with one purpose, and my results are certain. And that's what I do. I look at every community I go in. When I was a newspaper magazine editor and publisher, every community I go in, and I would paint the good of that community in the newspaper every issue. Every issue I would bring out the best of the community in my publication. And people called us a love sheet. And it was a love sheet because we always found the good in the community, and I loved it. Wherever I went, whatever I did. I sold real estate, I think I may have told you, and as I sold real estate in California, I learned how to sell. I'm always good, but I learned how to sell. And so, I was dealing with a bunch of low-level financial people with the cheap houses, and I had to sell maybe 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 of them a month to make enough money to pay. Here I was selling 5 to 8 houses a month and just getting enough to go by. So I found out there was the millionaire table. And the millionaire table was where the millionaire salespeople sat. And so I went over there and sat with them. You know, you're known by the people you associate with. And I sat with these millionaire salesmen. And they said, "Barley, what are you doing here?" And I didn't answer them. I just ignored them. And then I stopped to think what they did. They went to all of the expensive houses in town and on the oceanfront and so forth, and they listed them. And they sold them. And they associated with the people who were selling and listing and owning these million-dollar houses. This was back in the 60s and 70s. Million-dollar houses. Fantastic. So I said, okay, I will too. And I'm a very friendly guy. And I had a newspaper in that area, so I knew many of those people. And I went to greet the people. And I told him, "What would you do if some Arabic, what do you say, some Arabic would come along and want to buy your property? How much would you take for it?" "Well, I wouldn't sell this place for under $80,000, $100,000, $500,000. And I said, "What is your price?" And, of course, every place was different. And they said, "Well, $1 million. And I said, "Fine." So I went out and I advertised their property at $1,250,000. And the Arabic guys were coming along buying property. And so they came to me and they said, "Is that place really good?" I said, "Let me show it to you." And naturally, I love everybody, everything. And so I turned my love of that house over to them. And they said, "Oh, I got to have this house. I got to have this house." And I said, "A hundred and a quarter?" you know, a million and a quarter? And they said, yeah, I got to have it. I said, okay. So went down to the bank, made the transaction, and the people sold the house. I didn't want to sell the house. Well, you're getting for it exactly what you said you would take if some crazy person came along to offer that. Well, okay. Now, I need another house. They needed another place to move to, and they wanted to stay on the beach. Well, they didn't realize buying property wasn't like it had been a few years earlier, and they bought these new houses. Well, in no time, I was in the millionaire club. In no time, my income was up in the $1 million. And in no time, I was doing just fantastic. But here comes the kicker. I was bored. I was bored in selling all this property. I was bored in telling the people about the property and selling things. I went to one doctor, and he, eye, ear, nose, and throat man, and he said that he wanted to sell his property. And I said, okay, what do you want for it? He said, I want $67,000 for it, which was quite a bit of money. And I said to him, okay, now let me list it at $80,000, and then we'll get what we can for it. And so we put it on the market, and what happened? They bought it at $80,000 because we listed it that way, and we didn't think anything different. Then we got him another house up on top of the mountain, which we sold from other people in the same way. But it was a game, and it was, I didn't enjoy using other people's money in that way. The money was there, and you could have all you want, and you could be rich as you could want to be. But they were not the kind of people I wanted to associate with. They were the kind of people who had other values and other directions and other purposes in their life. You say, well, rich people are just as nice to associate as poor people, you know, or even, maybe even better. And no, not really. When you are doing what you like to do, when you are doing what you are always proud of doing. I was not unproud of raising the prices on these things. I merely knew how to price the property to sell it to the people who were looking at it. They had to feel they're really getting something worthwhile. And one of the things about the Arabs was they never bartered, because I didn't barter. If I offered it for a price, they took it at that price. If I wanted to buy something, I bought it at the price offered. I didn't barter around. When I went into Mexico, my wife did the bartering. She couldn't not barter. She said, that's not worth that. This is, you know. And so I said, you do your shopping. I'm going to just go looking. But you see, our life is filled with who we are. Who are our values? What makes your life go round? What makes you happy? What makes you feel good? Can you be a millionaire? Easy. Can you be a pauper? Easy. Can you be a happy person? Easy. Can you be anything your heart desires to be? Easy. Why aren't you? You are. You are whatever you believe you want to be, because that's the cause you put in motion for yourself. And that's the belief you have of yourself. Now, if Mr. Dyke here is any good as a salesman, if he's any good as a promoter, if he's any good as a man with values, if he's any good as a man of integrity, you know what he'll do?
Yes.
You know what you'll do? Okay, you want to tell us? What would you do? Since you do know this and that's who you are, what would, and of course I would maybe have other things for you to do, but what would you do from what you're saying? Loud and clear, if you wish, please.
I stand out with integrity.
No, I want to know right now, what would you do with who you are now, with the fantastic guy you are now. What would you do if you were just going to choose another profession, or you're going to choose a profession you've just chosen, or what are you offering to it? What makes you so valuable in that profession?
I like myself best.
You like yourself? That's certainly the best start.
Because that adds value to me.
You have quality about yourself. Yes. If I say the wrong thing, say the right thing again. But you have quality about yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, does the world recognize who you are and pay you accordingly? Or do you wish they would?
Yes.
No, you said...
I don't wish it. I am it.
You are it.
Yes.
Okay. So, the world pays you what you're worth.
What I want, yes.
What you're worth.
My value, yeah.
Your value.
Because and I stand out with integrity.
You found out what?
I stand out with integrity.
Okay, now.
Revealing who I am with truth and unconditional love.
I'm not understanding you. I'm sorry, I want to really understand you. And speaking English instead of a dialect would probably add a lot to it. But go ahead, please.
I stand up with integrity.
You stand up with integrity.
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 Integrity, yes. Revealing who I am.
Regardless who you are?
Revealing.
Revealing who
revealing who you are. Excellent. Revealing who you are. That's great.
I'm seeing everything unconditionally.
You feel everything unconditionally. Excellent. Now, are you doing what you really want to do, or is this a step on your pathway to being yourself? Which could easily be for most of us.
I am doing what I want to do.
You're doing what you want to do.
Yes.
Did you say?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Now, yes? Mary, you had a comment? No? You keep your mouth shut, huh? Okay, now, remember, if you think, like I had to do, didn't have to do, like I did in selling real estate, that I had to tell the people what their property was really worth. I had to tell them what prices they should put on it, and tell them that that's what they would get for it, and get it for them. I was not always totally sure of myself. I believed that I was right, but I also believed that I was pushing the price out of business for most of the local people, you know. And, of course, that's always a confusing thing. But now, you are doing what you believe you want to do right now, and it is going to be satisfying for you for as long as you want to do it.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a good start. Any other comments about these things, about following your path and following your inner drive?
Following your inner drive, you follow your heartbeat.
Do your own thing.
Your heartbeat.
Well, when you say, I like me, then you will do what makes you happy. And that's great. That's really super. Okay, we are into our next segment here. So let's take a pause until quarter after and then come back and we'll do our final afternoon discussion. All right? Super guys. Love you.
Aloha.